I'm Ebony K. Williams, your attorney at law and host. Welcome to Holding Court, where we analyze the very latest legal headlines everybody's already talking about. We dig into how the courts impact the culture. We break it all down for you, and we go straight from gavel to your news feed. And I promise you this, y'all, every single week, we're going to keep it a buck, keep it 100. Right, Dustin Ross?
That's right, Ebony. Let's go ahead and hold court.
Let's do it. Mr. Dustin Ross, I want to ask you, my dear, because it's always popping and fun with you, especially during the summertime. How was your weekend?
You know what? I had one of the best weekends I've had in a long time. My sister, who I love dearly, celebrated a milestone birthday this weekend. And so she actually came to New York and spent some time with me and a bunch of our best friends that live here. So it was really, really great to be with family this weekend.
Family and friends.
And still party, goddammit. Still went to the club.
Of course. Okay? I don't expect anything less of a Dustin Ross family member.
That's right. You party a little bit this weekend, Ebony?
You know what? I didn't party at all. I'm going to party next weekend.
Okay.
My line sister and I are going out to Vegas to catch one of these last shows for Mr. Usher Raymond.
Yes, I've been dying to do that. You know what? We're going to talk because I'll be on the West Coast this weekend too.
Well, come pull on up because, you know, it wasn't what I didn't realize is, you know, there's very few people that I would really give a shit to see in concert like that, to be candid. Yeah. Like, I'm just funny style like that. Like, unless it's some Brandy, maybe some Toni Braxton, something like that. It's
the real just shit.
Not for me. Right, right.
Yeah.
So Usher is in that category for me.
He's got hits.
Yeah, I got hits, got a catalog. He's a performer. You know what I mean? Because I don't want to see no bullshit.
Absolutely.
I want to see you breaking a sweat. I want to see you loving what you do. A Bruno Mars show is not a bad show to see. I really enjoyed watching Bruno a few years back when he was on his recent tour.
Yeah.
So that's the level of expectation I have if I'm going to go see you. And especially if I'm going to get on an airplane to go see you.
Yeah.
You got to be given what it's supposed
to be.
It's
got to be worthwhile.
Absolutely.
Got it.
So I feel like Usher's literally like one of five. Performers that will win that. But so then I'm all excited. I'm talking to my sister. She lives out in LA. So this is you know, very convenient for her. And we're both big, you know, pop music fans, whatever. So we're like, yeah, girl. I'm like, well, you know, if the schedule's crazy because, you know, it's the final episodes of Roni premiering over the next 3-4 weeks, trying to do this last press run, keep everything else in the air going. So like, yeah, let's go when things quiet down, like October. Imagine my surprise when I go on the good website.
It ain't no October.
This Usher's ass said, bitch, get your ass out here in the next 6 weeks or you can catch me for a 1 week special during the holidays. And that's it.
And that's it. Yeah.
So you know, I did something I don't normally do, which is I was like, fuck it. I'll just be tired, you know, and I'm just going to go. And so, so I'm going.
You deserve it, though. You need a break. You know what I mean? You need to just go.
I need to have some fun. I need to let my hair down.
Fucking dance. You know what I mean? Just have a good time.
Get some My Way, some.
All of that,
Confession. Bad Girl. Bad Girl is really, to me, one of my favorite Usher songs.
I'm a boy and I be feeling myself when shit come on. So you know it's the jam, okay? It just makes you feel good. The confidence, you know? It just makes you feel confident. So that's
good.
Dope.
It's good. So my party will be next weekend, but I'm so glad sis came in town.
Y'all were able to have
some good fun. Family time and party time. That's the best vibes. All right. So I want to get into the docket because we've got three stories. And if anybody's curious as to like how we pick these stories, right, because there are so many legal headlines that intersect around culture and law and all this shit every single week. Like easily we could have done. You know, R. Kelly's trial officially started in terms of jury selection and sequestering and all that shit. It was a lot out there. Your stupid ass friend, Amber Geiger. But here's the thing, y'all. When you see we do not cover that shit on Holding Court, it's because it's what I deem as a producer, not a good talker. Here's what I mean by that. Anybody can read you the headline. Anybody can give you reporting on what the story says. That's not what we do here at Holding Court. We want to give you a headline and then expand it into something that's valuable to you in your everyday fucking life. Nothing about just a random jury sequester process is going to be helpful to you, but we will get to R. Kelly's ass. Believe that. Once some things play out and it's now got what I consider legs for talking. Legs for analysis, legs for conversation. So don't fret. Those stories will come to you when they are ripe. Okay. That's a journalistic term. When it's ripe.
That's always the best time to have something. I'm going to tell you when it's ripe, Ebony.
I feel like that was nasty, but I'm going to, I'm just going to keep on moving this morning.
you got me rolling over here.
Crazy ass. So what is a good talker, and how I knew it was a good talker when I saw the headline, D, was because I was with one of my best friends, Christina Jackson Scott, and I happened to just ask her. I was like, what do you think of it? Because she and I, for as much as we are alike, we almost always see like issues differently. Like we are almost always contrarian.
Makes
you got
for a great
like that.
Conversation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. And I'll be clocking his ass every chance I get in conversation. So, yes. Yes.
So, I was like, I already know she's going to be on some shit with this Dr. Dre shit. So, y'all have seen the headlines. Dr. Dre's oldest daughter, this woman's name is LaTanya Young. She says she's homeless, living out of a car, goes on to make a lot of specific claims, D. You know, she's... saying that she's gotten no money, no financial support from her father since the year January 2020. The issue is, though, this woman is 38 years old. Mm-hmm. Okay, she's 38 years old. She's got four children of her own. Those children are currently staying with friends and family as she tries to figure out what to do with her living situation because she says she no longer has the apartment she used to have because Dr. Dre, her father stopped paying the rent back again, January 2020. Mm-hmm. She also says that she's tried to contact him, secure a relationship between him and the grandkids, put a pin in that. She's not heard from him and only now can communicate through his team, his lawyers, his representatives, things of this nature. LaTanya goes on to say she's currently working intermittently at DoorDash and Uber Eats to make a living, and she is fearful that she will lose said rental car because she can't afford to make the full $2,300 payment. Now, I must be assuming, Dustin, that that's some type of balloon payment or arrears. Gotta be. That's
the
got
hell
to mean.
She driving?
Right. Let me find out you renting a G-Wagon. Okay. Yeah, I think that that's got to be, you know, back payments and stuff. Yeah, okay. For the entire month. That's what I'm getting here. Last piece on this before we open it up to the congregation for conversation.
Yes.
Dr. Dre split from LaTanya's mother when she was five. Again, this is now almost 40 years ago we're talking. She was one of three children that Dre had with her mother. Her mom's name was Lisa Johnson. Tanya and all of her siblings are all now in their 30s. Good. And grown. I got a lot to say. I want to start with you though, Dustin. How did this land when you read and heard about this story?
Everybody need their ass whooped. Everybody involved in the story. What's going on in your life? That thing, because this is not something that just happens all of a sudden. This is a progression of unlikely events, I guess, that get you to this place in life where you need this much help or this type of help, right? Number two, Dr. Dre, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. I don't give a damn if she was 78 years old. This is bad, especially when you're already in court, already dealing with moving money around, already dealing with things that are a reflection of your character in the eyes of the law. You know what I'm saying? This is not a good look to have a daughter that's struggling now. 38 is not 38 months. Okay, that's 38 years old. She absolutely, especially as a mother of multiple children, bears the brunt of the responsibility of her livelihood and maintaining that. Okay, but when your father is worth as much money as Dr. Dre is worth, why are you in such dire straits? Why? It just don't look good, Ebony. It just don't look right. And it's unnecessary. We shouldn't even be wasting our time reading about this because he's got the money to fix the problem.
He does.
Whatever the big problem is. A quick fix as far as getting a fucking house and a car. No. Set her up. Fix her life so that you don't revisit this space ever again and everybody just moves on. One last thing, she needs to stay out of her mama and Dr. Dre's business. You ain't got nothing to do with what happened when you was 5 years old and who didn't get what and who's getting what now. Because that's where we start looking at you as if you are someone who has a chip on their shoulder and feels entitled and all the things that will make it you know, not so fun to give you money if I have it, basically.
Right. Okay. So good. Yeah. This will be nice and spicy because we're on different sides of this for people okay. being they fucking feelings because we agree to it. All right. So what Dustin's talking about, y'all, is the fact that this 38-year-old daughter, LaTanya, has been quoted as saying that she feel away that Dr. Dre is in the middle of paying Nicole, the estranged wife, $300K a month for spousal support. Right. She says this, I just heard that he has to pay $300,000 a month for spousal support. It's embarrassing. Because people are looking at me wondering why. What Nicole has got is what my mom should have got. That's what Dustin's talking about. I honestly wrote a proposal. Okay. And asked him if he could get a home for me and my sister and my kids. He was supposed to put us through college and pay for our health insurance. And he never did that. My mom felt he never upheld his end of the bargain. I commend Nicole in a way. She did what she had to do. An additional comment going back to your notion as to, you know, it kind of doesn't look right that you are Dr. Dre. You are literally a billionaire and your daughter's at her homeless. Okay. LaTanya says this. People label me as a millionaire's daughter, so they don't understand why I'm working. Put a pin in that.
A huge
it makes me want to crawl under a rock. He used to help out with rent and gave an allowance, but he told us he wouldn't do anything anymore. I'm out on the streets. I asked him for help and I haven't gotten a response back from his lawyer. I'm hearing about mistresses that he's brought houses for. It's a messy situation. All right. That's so here I go with my hot take.
Okay.
I don't believe LaTanya should get a fucking penny. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you why. I really don't. It caused you talking all of this talk. You really, matter of fact, I actually want to invoice you for the shit I already gave you.
Right,
that's
right.
How I feel about it. Right. Here's my thing. And you know, I don't have two shits for Dr. Dre, period. Mm-hmm. I feel like you need to make amends for that Michelle A shit. I have a whole bunch of feelings about Dre. So this ain't about defending Dre. I'm going to tell you why I feel this way. I have a serious problem, Dustin, and I'm quite triggered.
Okay.
With this notion that because someone's parents have wealth, they have wealth too. I'm going to take you all the way back to the Cosby Show.
And okay.
Folks, I'm not some massive Cosby Show fan. I think it did what it did, and it's got some good and some bad. Quite frankly, that's a day for another episode of Holding Court.
Okay.
But one of the episodes I did appreciate was this conversation between, I think it was...
Theo.
Yeah, Claire. Mm-hmm. I think it was Claire and Cliff and Theo, and he talking about something, I'm rich. Mm-hmm. And they were like, no, Negro, we're rich, actually. We're rich. You're not. You're broke until you do something to create a different circumstance for yourself.
Yeah.
And this one all the way goes back to a basic parenting philosophy, which I'm just really feel like I'm, you know, in the minority these days, which I'll be in, not new to it. I okay. don't feel... that it is a parent's responsibility to provide a comfortable life for your child. I don't think that is your primary goal, responsibility, or job as a parent. I really don't. I think if that's a byproduct of your childhood, the child's childhood experience, being comfortable and enjoying the nicer things in life, I think that's fucking great. But I think what your primary responsibility is to impart values, skill sets. I'm gonna say that one more time, skill sets.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding, knowledge, so that that child upon the age of majority, and I take that very literally. So see all of this fucking around, hanging out in your parents' basement, smoking weed and playing video games, well into your 20s and early 30s, fuck out of here. Okay. I'm talking about age 18. Get your shit and get out. Okay. Is that waiting to exhale? Yeah.
Yes, that's waiting to exhale.
Yeah. But I really do feel that way, Dustin. I really feel that if you've done your job as a parent or parents, you should have the last 18 years while you sitting around coddling and giving out $20 and $30 bill for report cards and shit, which I don't believe in. What you should have been doing is making sure that that child of yours was accumulating the skill sets, both academically, professionally, and personally, to be able to provide for themselves upon the age of majority. It is the failure of doing that, Dr. Dre, that's got you out here looking crazy right now. Because if you had done what you were supposed to do, and I actually don't even agree with Tanya about the paying for college shit. Why? Why? I don't think so. I think if your parent can pay for your college education, that's great. I think if they can't or they choose not to, I think it's on you. I think bust your ass. There's a scholarship opportunity out here. There's financial aid opportunity out here. There are student loans out here. I just am not for this bullshit at all, Dustin. I don't believe in any, I don't think that your parent owes you shit. So maybe that's where I depart. I don't think your parent, your fucking sister, your brother, or your dad, they don't owe you shit. The only thing they owe you is those 18 years in which you should be provided basic care, a comfortable environment, and the support so that you can acquire the ability to take care of yourself and your future children. So that's another problem I have with what LaTanya is talking about. You now putting it on Dre to take care of your kids. Ain't nobody told you to bring these kids into the world.
That's true.
Nobody. You chose that. You chose to mother, you chose to parent, and God bless you for it. How is it now Dre's responsibility? I don't give a fuck if he has $20 billion. I don't care if he got Bill Gates, Elon Musk money. I just don't subscribe to that. You are their mother. You are their parent. You need to provide a roof over their head, clothes on their back, and food for them to eat. And most importantly, curating a skill set that they can then go out and build on the next generation. See, that's why we don't have no generational wealth. Generally speaking, in our country, because we are constantly paying it backwards. You know what I mean? Like, how are we supposed to have now? There's also system. Let me back up here before I get dragged. Obviously, white supremacy, systematic racism, all the things. Absolutely, 100%. In addition to that, though, where are we being extremely clear? Generally speaking, culturally. The clock is fucking running. That's how I was raised. And that part, I think Gloria did damn right by me. Dustin, when I came out the poom poom, the clock was running.
Yeah.
Okay. And it was very clear to me. I had a maximum of 18 years. I actually beat the clock, and God is good for that. And my mother made sure that she was on my ass. Okay. So when I was 16, I was out of the house at UNC on a full academic merit scholarship because she made it clear to me. Like, what was going on in our house? And I'm not always saying that the tactics were appropriate for the era. You know, she was on some Joe Jackson shit. That's another conversation for another day.
Okay. But, I got my ass whooped too.
Shit. Wouldn't even be legal today.
Right.
I don't know if it was legal then.
It probably wasn't. It ain't never been legal. I didn't feel like it was legal when that belt was on my ass cheeks. Mm-hmm. Okay, I said this has got to be against the law somewhere.
Listen, and I know probably like me. Did you contemplate calling the protective services? I thought about it.
No, I ain't never even thought about it because I thought I was going to get in trouble for that.
I was going to get in trouble.
She's going to smell me thinking. I can't do it.
Oh, you thought you were going to get in trouble for thinking about it?
Yes, Lord. Gotcha. Yes. Okay.
No, anywho. I contemplated it and I said, I just don't know what that's going to look like. So I might as well just stay the fuck right here. Anyway, but what she did do was made sure, Dustin, that I understood that upon that age of majority, whether it's 16, 17, 18, 19, even 20, even if you want to just be real kind and give a couple cushion years, go out there and be able to make it fucking happen. And then this narrative, Tanya's telling us I'm driving the Uber Eats and the DoorDash as if there's something shameful about. Ain't no shame in working. Do you remember the brother from speaking of the Cosby Show? Alvin. This man was not too long ago, working, bagging groceries, helping people with their experience shopping at Trader Joe's. Yeah. And people had the nerve to shame this man. Like, what are you doing here? That's another problem, you know, period, across the board. Shaming work as if work doesn't have dignity.
Yeah.
Do what you need to do. I don't give a damn if it's Uber, DoorDash, Grubhub.
Hoeing.
Washing windows. There is no shame or stigma. And who the fuck do you think you are that you are above doing that work just because your father has enjoyed tremendous success? That's his success. Sis, it's not your success. Sounds like you have a serious problem with entitlement. And if there's any accountability on Dre, it's two parts. Mm-hmm. Number one, what I said, at some point along this process, one must presume you failed to instill into this woman, and it sounds like her sisters and other siblings, the ability to go out here and earn and provide a comfortable, enjoyable life for yourself by yourself. You know, your parents should not be still giving you no kind of money. And a lot of people disagree with this, Dustin, so I already know I'm going to get some heat. I don't give a damn. I just don't believe in that shit, period. The other thing Dre did that was wrong is you started some shit you can't finish. Go back and listen to the archives of Holding Court. We have a whole episode about don't start shit you can't finish. So the minute Dre started setting up these payments of allowance, paying for rent, paying for food, clothes, all of these things, now you have set an expectation that that is what she expects to keep getting to sustain her life. And now you want to say time's up because you're tired of paying it. That's a little fucked up because now you've set an expectation that she reasonably relies upon. And now you want to pull the rug from underneath her. So if Dre has accountability, it's that. Don't start shit you can't finish. You should have gave this young lady and all her sibling skill sets to go out and get it for themselves. Now, if they do have it, because we only know one side of the story. If this woman is sitting on a skill set to earn some real money and take care of herself and her children, and she's not availing herself to that, I have even less empathy for her. But I didn't feel sorry for her at all. You're 38. Absent a real mental illness or some other impediment that is going on where you cannot go out here like the rest of us and go get it, I don't give a damn who your daddy is, your mama is, or how much money they have. They have no. If Dr. Dre wants to take $1 billion one by one and go over and just give it out for blowjobs and booty smacks, that's his business because he earned it. He can. Grown people get to do what they want with their life. I have a serious problem, Dustin, with people trying to tell, especially children and grandchildren and wives and shit. You cannot tell. Well, spouses is different because y'all are joint. But children? No. Grown children? Absolutely not. That's why I'd be like, fuck them kids. Because you cannot tell a grown ass person what to do with their money.
I agree 100% with you on the fact that this daughter obviously has an issue with entitlement. Mm-hmm. I agree 100% with you that people in general need to be self-starters. They need to be motivated to have ambition and drive, you know, and get out and earn their keep. Literally, you have to do that. That is the ultimate life lesson that a parent should impart upon their child, which is how to be self-sufficient and take care of themselves. That's literally your job as a parent, right? To do that. That is your job. However, we have to be aware of the factors that are involved in this circumstance that make it exceptional. Everybody's not a billionaire. And the fact that Dr. Dre is a billionaire means that he has access to resources that if he had been hands-on in raising this young lady and really nurturing her and cultivating a ambitious spirit in her to get up and go, he could have put those resources to use to create that very generational wealth that you speak of us having a lack of in the Black community. There's so many layers to this. It goes so far beyond him just not giving her money. Dr. Dre was absent from her life and her development, her developmental process in so many ways that got us here. You know what I'm saying? But for me, at the end of the day, the optics on this alone are worth him writing a check. They just are. At this time in his life, with what's going on with Nicole, this doesn't, and with everything else we know about who Dr. Dre is, right? This does not look good added to the pile. And it's such a simple fix that it shouldn't even be a second thought for him. Especially considering the fact that he feels, you know, I assume he loves her kids, you know what I'm saying? Like,
but I can assume he's feeling a fucking way because, like you said, optics alone, and I'm funny with optics because the older I get, the less and less I care about them. And that's a bad thing. Who knows? I'll let y'all know how the shit play out. But this tells me, because he was doing it. So what happened? Because it's not like he ran out of money. So what has happened between the relationship between him and LaTanya that he, as of January 2020, just said, I'm actually good. I'll take the press hits. I'll take the bad optics. And don't worry. To me, that tells me something was said or done that made the optics even not worth it for him anymore.
How about this? Instead of telling her, I'm not going to pay your bills, tell her, listen, here's the calendar. Here's the plan that we're going to stick to and abide by to give you financial freedom and independence. So I'm not just going to stop paying for your life and helping you. But instead, we're going to come up with an agreement. Like, this is how that works. You set her up. You know what I'm saying? If you want to cut her off, set her up.
We didn't do that, to be fair.
We don't, but what kind of position, excuse me, what kind of position could she have really been in financially if it only took from, when was the last payment? In 2020?
January
until now?
Yeah.
She couldn't have been too far well set up. You know what I'm saying? If that's all the time it took.
Let's say he was like, I'm going to pay your rent up for the next 3 years. Let's go. Let's say he did that back in like 2018. I'm going to pay your rent for the next 3 years. Or even, you know, I'm going to let you live in a house. Because like that's something like that would make sense to me. If you do have that kind of wealth to me, that's where you can show up in positioning for your adult child. I own this house. I'm going to let you rent to own it yourself, and you can buy it from me. To me, that's I believe in incentive-based help. So I'm not just a
coin
monster. Yes, I'm with you 100%. I believe in incentive-based support that puts people in position to do for themselves and pay it forward. So you can say, I'm going to put you in a rent to own on my property that I own. If you can maintain these, I'm going to pay the rent for the first 3 years, and then rent year four, I'm going to require you to start either proportionately 70-30, 50-50, something to do. And in the meantime, I've paid for you. I'm just making these facts up. You're at trade school. You're in beauty school. You're in interior design school. Hell, you could be getting your whole bachelor's degree. Don't matter. Acquiring some kind of skill set that allows you to be able to make these monthly mortgage payments in the next 3 to 4 years. And what could have happened under that fact scenario, D, is she just said, and was chilling. And now it's time to kick in your portion of the mortgage or the entire mortgage. And you like, well, daddy, I don't have it. And now he's like, okay, I told you what time it was on the front end. Now you're playing with me. Now I feel exploited. Now I feel taken advantage of. And fuck it. We don't know that didn't happen. We don't. That's what I'm saying.
We don't know. And if that did happen, he would be completely just in his actions, right? In removing himself from her financial portfolio, so to speak.
Because I think people bank on that just with this tiniest bit of visibility.
That's where we're different, because if my daddy was a billionaire like that, that is nothing but a green light for me to become one too. So I would have been working my ass off, putting myself in a position to have his resources as a resource for me to get mine. So that's the difference between me and her. If that scenario you just proposed happened.
No, Dustin, that's between you and most people. Most people do not see my daddy's a billionaire is my green light to go get it and know that I'm on a totally expedited path. Like, that's your privilege, is that you are in a totally expedited path to be whatever you want to be because of who your father is. Like, you've already won. They don't need to cut you a check for you to win. You have won just through proximity
straight up,
who this man is and the resources he has access to. But instead of doing that and thinking like you, D, most people think like LaTanya, which is, you got it, I got it. I've even heard parents say that. Shout out to Candy Burris. And I love Candy and I love all of her business. I just think that's a interesting slash to me. Like, I just don't agree with it. You know, like that whole, I got it, you got it. No, I got it. You got some proximity is what my kid's going to get. And what I will do though, is mentor, nurture, and facilitate a situation where you will have that and more, but you got to put in on it.
But that sounds different than what we're seeing from Dr. Dre at this point, right? And I think that's where we agree. Yes, there needs to be some sort of structure to this thing, but I'm not just going to leave you ass out. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to try to set you up and get you in position. This sounds like he was like, fuck it.
At some point, it sounds like that. We're playing semantics, but I think at some point he said, fuck it. Now, because she said, my daddy's Dr. Dre, and I haven't heard from this man since I was 18. I would have way more compassion and empathy for her. What I'm struggling is that he was doing for you up until a year ago.
36 and 35. Yeah, I feel you.
What you've been doing since 18 to 36, because that's another path. Even if he wasn't smart enough or engaged enough or gave a fuck enough to put you on a structured path, I would have been hoarding all of the money he was giving me during that time and setting up my own shit.
I mean, you just have to be smart. I just would have been smarter than this.
Yeah, because this is a mess. And now you out. And I just didn't. I was triggered too by the I'm a billionaire daughter and I'm out here working for Grubhub.
That's her damn problem, though. That's saying she's embarrassed and people looking at her wondering why. Mm-hmm. Bitch, don't nobody even know Dr. Dre is your daddy until you tell them.
Well, you tell them because y'all ain't even. Well, yeah.
So like, yeah, come on now. So like, so anyway, because you almost got me just now. With the you know, I was about to go there too.
I was about to do too much. But yeah, it's you're concerned with what it looks like. And I think I am personally triggered by that because I think people start having this expectation of what thing. I'm going to tell you this crazy ass friend of mine. Came to visit me recently. And I love her ass to death. Been a friend of mine since, I mean, this is like a 20 plus year friendship. This okay. woman said to me, when she came, she came in town, visited, you know, for socializing with, you know, me and some other girlfriends.
Yeah.
She said, yeah, you know, when I landed at the airport, I thought you were going to have a car for me since you're big time now. Bitch, what?
Yeah, I don't like that energy.
But she wasn't really, you know what I mean? People's, mm-hmm. that's just a wild.
And you caught that. Thing. You caught the real energy behind that.
Yeah, like, but that's how a lot of motherfuckers move. And I think it's normalized. And that's I think when cool. you start, I think people feel like what is yours is mine, period. Whether it's daughter, granddaughter, lifetime friends, all of that. Like you own, I'm a, and I guess a lot of people move like that. You look at the NBA, you look at hip hop, you look at any music industry, country, western, don't matter. People believe in the notion of an entourage that says, I got, you got. I just, no.
I don't like that either. I like an entourage of a whole bunch of motherfuckers that's got it.
That's I like what, entourage that looks, like. That looks like, yes, a bunch of motherfuckers that's got it or going to get it.
Or going to get it or getting it, yeah.
That I took. So absolutely, I'm happy to drink from this bottle with you and share this.
Yes.
You know, Uber XL, because that's all the bitch you was going to get from me. Okay. Yeah,
and the appreciation is clear because I know that you work hard and you correct. Understand this. Yeah. So that's a difference.
That's what a lot of people do, Dustin. And then I'm going to move on from it because you can see I'm fired up about it. People want to do nothing, not nothing, but mediocrity. People want to not take risk in their own lives. People want to fall back. They want to play it safe. They want you to take all the risk. They want you to be up 24 hours a fucking day. They want you to be struggling, risking it all, falling on your face, getting back up, doing it again. And then when the money resides, mm. when the harvest is ready to be, you know,
reaped, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now you got your basket. Come on now.
That's not cool. And I'm going to tell you something. One last note on this. Mm-hmm. And I know we've been going forever on this, right? But when a person is ambitious and a hard worker and you know that they are doing their best, you don't mind helping them at all. You That's don't even think part. About it.
That part.
You want to help.
Literally,
so there's that. Obviously more to this story.
Yes, that's what it is. Because I don't think like, damn, you're stingy. I'm really not. I have such a. I give money. I give this to people I don't even know.
Completely, because you I are not you. That. Yeah, that's.
I
not
see you moving. Yeah, I see you moving. I see you out here trying to get it. When I see you trying to get it, I'm gonna pour into that two, yeah. three, four times over.
Yeah.
Because it's also for me biblical. God has told us, Dustin, you take one, I'll take two or three.
Yes, that's come on here, Ebony. Let me pay you a tithe. Come on, Ebony.
Oh, shit. I'm not doing it with you today, Dustin, but that's the vibes, and that's for real, y'all. Listen, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to pay some bills because we got to do that because Dr. Dre's not going to pay them for us, clearly. Y'all don't go anywhere because we got a lot more holding court coming up after this. All right, y'all, welcome back to Holding Court. Now, this story caught my eye very late last night, Dustin, but I wanted us to get into it because it's got some good talking points that people okay. need to know about. Now, a lot of y'all have seen the headline, See Murder. His name is Corey Miller. Y'all know he is the brother of Master P, who's also basically a billionaire too, right?
Yes.
Legendary mm-hmm. mogul. Here's the thing with Corey Miller. Corey Miller was locked up long ago on a murder charge. He's serving a life sentence. In a correctional facility in Louisiana. It's called the Lane Hunt Correctional Center in Louisiana. I want to bifurcate this story in two parts.
Okay.
The first is C Murder says he did not commit this crime. Okay. He says that he is innocent of the conviction. So one thing that we're not going to go deep on this episode of Holding Court is we're not going to try to litigate the validity of the conviction, because that's going to be another episode. And I'm going to be clear, he has retained counsel, Corey Miller, Benjamin Crump, and a lawyer that I actually know very well, Ronald Haley Jr. And I'm going to tell you about Ronnie in a minute. Okay. Those two are his legal team, and they are going to help him in two ways. Number one, they are going to try to help get this murder conviction overturned so that this man is no longer serving a life sentence for a crime he says he didn't commit. Boom. That's that. Separate and apart from that, See Murder is going on a hunger strike. This is specifically related around the prison conditions that he is being subjected to while he serves this sentence and while any appeal efforts are going on. That's really what I want to focus on today, because there is, and just everybody just really geeking out right now, pull out your pen and paper. Mm-hmm. Everybody in this fucking country, Dustin, has an Eighth Amendment constitutional right that keeps us all free from what is deemed to be any cruel and unusual punishment. I'm sure you've heard that phrase before, cruel and unusual punishment. It is correlated from the Eighth Amendment of the United States Constitution. Boom, period. We all have it. So what Corey and this legal team are arguing is that the conditions, this what the shit is going down in Elaine Hunt Correctional Center in Louisiana, is in breach, direct violation of that Eighth Amendment promise to protect from cruel and unusual punishment. And that by anybody that is incarcerated in that particular facility, I'm going to say it one more time, Elaine Hunt in Louisiana, they are being subjected to cruel and unusual punishment. It's a violation of their Eighth Amendment constitutional right. I want to read you this statement that was jointly released by Ben Crump and brother Ronald Haley Jr.
You're going to read it in his voice? No, I'm just playing. Go ahead.
No. You know what?
I'm just playing. I couldn't help it. Go ahead, Evan.
You were reformed today. And that's saying a lot. Okay. So they said this. No one in the state of Louisiana is sentenced to contract COVID-19 nor die from it. There are far too many people who are unreasonably compromised due to existing medical conditions and older age who will suffer or die due to the spread of COVID-19 and the Delta variant. There is no form of justice that should allow this level of neglect for the health and safety of those who are incarcerated, end quote. That's it. That's the crux of the legal argument right there, is that if people are incarcerated and that's a part of their, you know, legal accountability for the crime they have been convicted of, whether rightly or wrongly convicted, they've been convicted. They got to be incarcerated. Got it.
Okay.
They're saying even still, there is an Eighth Amendment protection around what is deemed to be an unreasonable risk of death and treatment and experience while incarcerated, which is absolutely correct. Mm-hmm. They go on to talk about Mr. Miller maintaining his innocence, and we're diligently working with his legal defense team to free him. Copy. So, okay, that's actually, I'm reading that differently now. So there mm-hmm. are different lawyers, which is important and necessary, that are criminal defense lawyers that are working on the legal defense appellate situation to get him released under the reality of his actual factual innocence. Cool. Okay. That team is over there doing that. Ronnie and Ben Crump go on to say, but in the meantime, we are monitoring the conditions at Elaine Hunt and are considering taking legal action. We stand with Mr. Miller and everyone who is incarcerated who are in fear of losing their lives due to the pandemic and inhumanity of the correctional system. We demand that the Department of Corrections act immediately. So that's basically notice. Okay. This statement is basically notice, Dustin Ross, to Louisiana System of Corrections, this particular penitentiary in particular, that if y'all don't fix this shit, move these COVID-19 positive inmates away from consistently and effectively away, isolate, quarantine them effectively so that COVID negative patients are not being subjected to risk of death and other ailment by just forcing all these inmates into these confined spaces together, which literally is costing, has already cost hundreds, if not thousands, of inmates their lives. It's not different at all than what was going on in the nursing home situation right here in New York and probably other states as well. You know, where because people are vulnerable, and whether they did the shit or didn't do the shit, that's not, inmates are vulnerable. Inmates represent a vulnerable community because there is very limited choice and what their accommodations and day-to-day life look like.
Absolutely.
As such, right? As such, they are subject to the decision-making of systems. And this is just like what, and if you have empathy for what's going on with the elderly in these old folks' homes and nursing facilities who unnecessarily many of them died because our fucking government wanted to be lazy and raggedy and not properly quarantine and isolate and spend the money on doing that shit the right way. If you have empathy for those dead older people, you should have that same empathy for these incarcerated people, whether they're guilty or innocent. Because if you are a patriot and you believe in this nation's constitution, then you subscribe to the Eighth Amendment, which says you could be guilty as shit and you still don't have to die from it.
Yeah.
Period.
I agree. And I simply agree. This is shameful, and they're literally playing with these prisoners, these inmates' lives. And that's not cool. That's not cool. It's not okay.
It's not. And for those that are wondering what kind of conditions we're talking about, the statement, you know, from Corey Miller by way of Ronnie and Ben Crump says this. This has not only spread the virus, but it's caused abnormally long quarantine times. The COVID-19 positive inmates are put in 2-week quarantine times initially, but then the prison adds new positive inmates to the dorms daily, which then extends the quarantine time to 2 weeks each day that they add a new case. So what that is also doing, there's also a mental health component, right? Because we're in a quarantine. Quarantine fucking sucks. You know, it's a version of isolation. It has a mental and emotional consequence. And Corey Miller is telling us that what is happening because of the inappropriate handling of the quarantine and the bunking of positive and negative inmates and whoop-de-whoop-de-whoop, people, the inmates are being erroneously quarantined for unreasonably long periods of time.
Right.
And that's a violation, again, of that Eighth Amendment. So if we're going to be patriots all the way. If you're for human dignity, be that all the way.
Right.
Don't cherry pick the shit. I think Corey Miller is in good hands. Ronnie Haley Jr. was in one of my study groups in law school. So we used to post up, at LSU Law Library, a couple other handful of folks with us, and, you know, go through those outlines, those hypotheticals, those cases, and IRAC issue rule analysis conclusion and all that. So that was like year one of law school. So shout out to Ronnie Haley Jr. Excellent legal mind, excellent litigator, excellent, person to be advocating on behalf of C Murder right here. So we'll be watching that closely. Louisiana is always really doing some fuck shit though, especially.
They got to get it together, man.
Man.
They got to get it together. And also, I want accountability for the people who were willfully just mixing those people who had tested positive with the population. There needs to be a legal consequence for that behavior.
Absolutely. Because blood is on their hands.
Yeah.
Period. In the same way it's on the hands of Governor Cuomo, way it's on the hands of many state and local officials and Trump's fucking hands because of the dismal, irresponsible and unreasonable way in which this horrific pandemic has been handled and continues to be handled. Because we're not out of it, to be clear. All right, y'all, listen, we're going to take another quick break. We're going to come back with a final case here on Holding Court, one that deals with, depends on where your football loyalties may lie. Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott, he's being sued again. We'll tell you why when we come back to Holding Court. All right, y'all. Now, for the third time in 14 months, Zeke Elliott, he is being sued for an alleged dog biting incident. Now, this isn't the sexiest story, Dustin, but
it really is not. Dogs are over there tearing people up, boy. Go ahead.
But I wanted us to talk about it because a lot of us are pet owners. You know, I got some little Carrie James, and, you know, he's not a biter, but a lot of people's dogs are biters and can be biters, and they don't really think about the legal consequences of that shit. And so I wanted to use Zeke Elliott and this shit he's going down with right now to give people some information that they really need to consider, A, when you're purchasing your dog, your pup, and B, when you're maintaining them, because you don't want to be out here in the streets and get surprised by what you think is just normal dog behavior. And next thing you know, not only are you hit with a multi-million-dollar civil lawsuit, you could actually be looking at jail time. And that's real. And that can happen. And people don't know that. Mm-hmm. So here's the deal. Zeke is, like I said, being sued for the third time. This recent one coming from a woman named Jennifer Gamper. She claims that she is one of Elliot's neighbors. Got that. Yep. And she's saying just as recently as May of 2021, she was attacked by one of his dogs near his Frisco, Texas area home. A couple different things. She was basically saying that Zeke was getting some landscaping done while the land, and she's suing them as well, by the way, that she's holding the landscape crew here liable. Because she's basically saying that as they were performing the landscaping work, they did not keep the dog in place. Dog, or you know, ventured out into her property area and attacked her. She says she suffered severe and permanent injuries, but not getting more specific than that. She's literally claiming that she wants relief in over $1 million. So this is not a small chump change case. This is over $1 million. Let me tell you what Zeke's lawyer is saying. Frank Salanzo is saying this: Mr. Elliott and his representatives are aware of the lawsuit filed on July 30th, which stems from a previous reported incident from May 21st of this year. As Mr. Elliott expressed at that time, he was and remains concerned for the party involved. However, as in most disputes, there are extenuating circumstances to this matter, which will impact the legal proceedings, which we are not at liberty to discuss. As such, we have no further comment at this time. Okay, so he said a lot to say nothing. Here's what I want people to know. Every single state, D, has a different way of legally handling dog biting that they're, you know, even what, whether, so we call them dog biting cases. It could be an attack. It could be a severe scratch. It could be any other kind of mauling. It could be, and it could be anything from just a dog bite per se to death. And I've seen it, you know, some dogs are lethal, not very common. I'm not going to sit up here and name out breeds as to further stigmatize certain breeds. I've seen that. I'm not with it. My mother has had pits for many years. She has a Rottweiler now. They're very loving dogs. I'm not afraid of them. And it is what it is. And a lot of this is just on the care, maintenance, training, and discipline of the owner. You know, I'm not going to blame an animal for being an animal. I'm looking at the accountability of the owner. And that's how the law treats. So in most states, we got what we call the one bite rule. What does that mean? It basically means the first bite is free. Okay, basically means any dog, any breed, any given day could just freak out and just, you know, have a bite.
Have a moment, yeah.
Have a moment. The law is not going to penalize that. Nobody gets really punished for that. It's called the one bite rule. Now, once the dog starts going beyond that, and there becomes a pattern, there becomes a reasonable expectation that your dog might be considered a dangerous dog, there's even a civil hearing process. Where, you know, if your dog is just out here wilding and causing people injury, and there's some specifics around that, causing people injury of varying degrees, when, these are the caveats, it's unprovoked, and that person is not trespassing or doing anything else that would reasonably invite the bite or attack.
Right.
Because if somebody's trespassing, now if you trespassing on somebody's property and you get fucked up,
that's your ass.
That's literally your ass. Okay, so let's be clear. If you are otherwise taunting or just fucking with a dog in a way that you know damn well you're not supposed to and you get fucked up, that's your ass.
That's your ass.
But if none of those things apply, and again, this is after the first bite has already happened with you or someone else, then you might be able to pursue, as in this case with the Elliott, civil damages, which is where you file that lawsuit for whatever, you know, dollar amount you want to go for. Here, these people are really coming for the bag because there's like two or three other lawsuits that Zeke is facing, all between $500,000 and, $250,000 to $1 million is one case. And we know with this Gamper woman, she's looking to, she's starting at over $1 million that she wants for relief.
All for the same damn dog. All them cases are on the same damn dog.
They're all on the
same
dog. That's
crazy.
Yeah, that's that. And listen, that's why I said TMZ has reported that this same exact dog of Elliot's that keeps being the subject of these litigations has had a dangerous dog hearing, and ultimately that dog, don't be laughing at
that dog. The dog had a court date. This dog had a court date. God damn.
The dog had a dangerous dog hearing in court and was ultimately removed from the city. So that means there must have been some kind of legal finding that the dog was indeed dangerous by legal standards and has been removed. I know some of y'all are wondering, does that mean the dog is put down? It can. Now, I'm not saying that, I don't think that that has happened yet to Zeke Elliott's particular dog, but legally that in some states, that can be the remedy, is after multiple bites, maulings, what have you, dangerous situations, especially in the case of death, of course, or other permanent severe injury. Yes,
the state all can dogs go to heaven at that point.
What'd you say, Justin?
It's all dogs go to heaven at that point.
Then, yeah, listen. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's sad. So obviously, you know, our hearts here at Holden Court go out to any injured individuals as a result of these allegations, of course. But also my heart goes out to Z, because I mean, this is, if you look on his social media, and even like, he loves these dogs to death. And, you know, I'm no good without my sweet Carrie James. Somebody's gonna be fucked up if anything happens to her.
But she also ain't biting the hell out of everybody that comes over your house. You know what I mean? No. So there's a difference here. This ace was a killer. Okay. This was ace of spades right here.
This is Ace Boon Coon, ace of spades. I mean,
for real.
I hear fucking people up it allegedly. But Zeke has the dog tattooed on his arm. You know, this is his baby. This is his literal Ace Boon Coon. So I'm sure this is all pretty devastating for Zeke. But, you know, if you know that this is the vibe of your pet, this is why the law steps in and does hold high degrees of accountability to the owner, to the owners. So that's just a little bit of tea for y'all. If you got a dog, whatever breed, if you particularly know that your breeds are at least perceived to be dangerous or harmful, and it has a reputation for that, just watch yourself. Watch yourself. Yeah. Watch your dog. Make sure your fencing is right. Make sure you have signs posted. I've seen that make a difference in a case. You know, just have a sign. Beware of dog. You know, because then when somebody if they trespass and they get fucked up, you've got the defense of, well,
I told you it was up from the get go.
Correct. So pet owners, dog owners in particular, you know, just keep your head on swivel. All right.
So much I want to say, but I'm gonna be good for the rest of the show. I'm gonna be good for the rest of the show because God bless that dog. So that's all right. God bless you, Ace. Just don't bite nobody else.
Please don't bite nobody else, because I don't want to see you put down, Ace.
I know, because they on their way for him, Ebony. They on his ass. I'm telling you.
Got to talk to that Ace. This is fucked up.
And he on probation anyway, right?
Who's Ace, he?
The dog.
Oh, didn't the dog. Oh, from his hearing date?
Hell yeah. Ace on them papers right now, so he really can't be fucking up no more, you know?
Ace, get it together, Ace, because we really want you to live, but shit.
That's
you,
right.
You out here possibly fucking up. And then Eddie, Zeke will have to pay for it. So, and if you're wondering what that payment could look like where does $1 million come from? That would be determinant if the court finds indeed that there was liability from Zeke and or this landscaping company that didn't do what they were supposed to do to protect this neighbor, this woman, from the dog. What would then happen is an actual calculation as to like hospital, because that's what she'll have to submit, right? Hospital bills. Yeah. You said you had these permanent injuries. We need a doctor to testify to that. How much is long-term care for these injuries? All of that is just like almost like a car accident, right? Like it's like any other tort, any other injury where you're trying to recoup dollars. So all of your actual medical expenses will be calculated, including any long-term care you might be projected to need from medical officials. Then typically that's tripled is essentially what happens, because then they want to build in enough for your lawyer to get their third and then for you to recover some kind of like damages to, you know, just make you feel better about the injury and devastation you've gone through. Also included in your medical bills could be counseling, mental health treatment, things of that nature. Medication, you know,
man.
So that's how the money part of that could go down. And if you're Zeke Elliott, not the biggest deal. If you're, you know, Joe Blow or Sally Sue from the street,
that's a problem.
Fuck you up.
Yeah.
Be mindful, y'all. Watch out. Listen, y'all, with that, just wanted to give y'all that tea. Thank you so much for listening. Y'all know the vibes. Follow us, subscribe, rate us, give us stars, reviews. We love it. We appreciate y'all so much. Tell your friends, help get the word out, because that's exactly why we do this show, so y'all can get something out of it. Holding Court comes to you each and every week from Uppity Productions. It's an association with Dossie Media, presented by, of course, the Black Effect Network, from iHeartRadio, audio services brilliantly and wonderfully provided by One of One Productions. We love the team there. Check them out, oneofoneproductions.com. Y'all listen, come back with us next week. We'll have a brand new episode. Court will be back in session. In the meantime, listen, y'all, we really gave y'all some instructions this week, okay?
Yes, we did.
Wear your mask. Don't fuck around if you got a dog situation. Keep your head on swivel and know the vibes. And what else would you like people to do this particular week, Justin?
Read your terms and conditions and tip your DoorDash drivers. That's what we do.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen.